Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapperston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapperston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapperston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how are you this fine, cold, but sunny, beautifully sunny morning?
Frozen solid, I'll tell you. I don't remember it being this cold in a long time, believe me.
Just last week it was.
Yeah, amazing. So, but anyway, right now it is Saturday, February 9th, 2019, at 10:04 in the morning. And we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM, out of Buffalo, New York, at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, then the show will be on after the sporting event. Also, the show is available every week, Saturday morning, 10 to 11. Live streaming at our website, sapperston.com. That's S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. And you just click on the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming comes up. Go to the bottom of the page. And you're all set, right?
Through the miracles of technology.
Exactly.
It works like that.
And then, also at the website, all of our shows are archived. So you can pick up a show that you may have missed or if you want to replay a show. And then at the website, if you want to type in a question or a symbol, if for some reason you don't want to call us, although we do like to talk to people on the phone, there is the Dollar Doctor tab again, and you can click on live streaming when it comes up, go to the bottom of the page, there's a chat box, type in a question, type in a symbol. If you put in the symbol, let us know whether you're looking to buy, hold, sell, whatever, and we can analyze it. Mm-hmm. We usually say finally, last but not least, there's a free economic report every week by Stone and McCarthy, but David tells me it is not updated this time.
No, don't know what it is.
But you can check, maybe later, maybe Monday, we'll find out why it's not there, but usually there is a free economic report that you can get, and we do encourage you to go to the website, sapperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com, and you can find out about us, and if you're interested in any of our services, all of our contact numbers are there. Right now, all the phone lines, as usual, are
wide open.
We don't know
if they're working, Pete.
803-1520, maybe they're frozen. And toll-free, 800-879-7541. Once again, 803-1520. Toll-free, 800-879-7541.
We do have somebody on chat.
Chat box, we'll do that first.
Bill's looking to buy three stocks. One is NEE.
Yeah, it's one of the better electric utility companies.
Yes. Yep. Close at 183.01.
I don't know how. I never even heard of this outfit. How could you miss it? I mean, back in 2016, the stock was down around, 54, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 94. Take it back, 94.
Yeah, but still.
Not bad. And you closed where?
183.01.
Yeah. I mean, it looks very strong, you know, after having broken down, it gave kind of like a false breakdown, and that can be one of your most bullish signals, that it reverses from that.
Okay.
So it's going to have to take out its old high, which is right around, let's see, 184. And, you know, so basically you'd get a complete breakout at 186. And, you know, looking at the 200-day moving average, that's at about, what, 179?
Mm-hmm.
So you would want the 200-day moving average to be supported, drop below it. So the 200-day moving average is important support. And if I were to buy it, I'd only get a little worried. It depends. If you're a long-term investor, you know, you could probably hold it down to 170. Let's see. It looks like 190. No. Where'd it close again?
183.01.
183.01.
Those things over there, those wire things with the glass, those are your glasses.
Maybe I should put them on. But anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, actually, shorter term, 170 would be a possible out point or reevaluation. Long term, you know, the trend line and the point and figure chart's back at 140-something, and that's quite a ways down. So I probably, if you can take that risk down to looks like about 146.
Oof.
And that's a lot, you know. So I would probably reevaluate it if it went to 170, because at that point it'd be below the 200-day moving average. But it looks very strong, And obviously, with interest rates having been coming down, the utilities have remained very strong. So that one looks all right. Yep.
All right. Next one is Ellie Mae, ELLI, and not the Beverly Hillbillies, nor any kind of government agency. They make application software.
Well, that's the hottest area in the market right now.
82.94 in the close.
Yeah, because we always say, you know, people should really, you know, first of all, you have to be concerned about the market direction, but the sector is very important, and it's a lot easier to find the winning stock in a strong sector than a winning stock in a weak sector. So the software sector is very strong. This has had a tremendous surge, and you could take it for what it's worth, but the price objective looks like it's about 84 in a close where?
It did, 82.94.
82, so it hit the first objective already.
Right.
And, you know, right now, next resistance would be somewhere in the 87 area.
Right.
And if it took that out, the next resistance would be up around mid-90s. So very strong. And on the 200-day moving average is now at, what, 80? What did you say this closed at?
I said 82.94.
82.94. Why is the 200-day above it?
Well, it had a gap down with some earnings disappointment because of the housing slowdown in the end of October.
Okay.
And, you know, the housing, as I think you said last week, housing was like the best sector, right?
Yeah,
or one of them. So.
Well, the 200-day moving average is at 89. So you certainly, you know, if you're a longer-term investor, you want to see it above that 200-day moving average at 89.
Well, the high this year is 116. Yeah. I mean, 117. It really came down.
So it came way down, then built a nice base, came back out of that base. And it would give a new buy signal if it goes to, say, 85.
Okay. You want to do one more?
Yeah.
It would be DOCU, and that closed at 51.77. That is DocuSign. They make business software.
Another one, software again.
Yeah.
You know, there's another one that got trashed. Holy cow. Down for what, about 60, high 60s?
To 68.36. Yep.
Got cut at least in half, almost in half. And it's come back down. It's right at the down trend line. So this is a critical point. You know, it's in a resistance area right now. And it's come a long way up, and the 200-day moving average is at 49.
Mm-hmm.
So it got back above the 200-day. So as long as it's above the 200-day, you know, I would get concerned if it pulled back below the 200-day moving average at 49. And you know, the next support area would then be in about 44.
Okay.
So know, right now, technically, if you take it for what it's worth, the price objective is 83.
Close at 52, 51.77.
So you're at important resistance. Watch it very carefully here. If you've done your own research, as we always say, and you have a strong reason why you like this company. But once again, it's in a strong sector. So basically use those parameters. And yeah, I kind of like how strong it came back. May have to rest for a while. It's possible. Okay. Yeah. So right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. You're getting Willarditis. You know that? You see a phone call and you're getting nervous and you're trying to rush me through the chat box there.
Well, that's because you dribble.
Is that it?
Dribble,
you know,
and drabble.
No, I'm not dribbling and drabbling. I'm giving important information. Pay attention.
Oh, please.
We're going to go first to Tony. Good morning.
I'll explain it to you later. Good morning, Tony. How you doing?
Well, I invested in thermal underwear.
There you go.
Which is a proven product. I've been listening to radio and television, and I'm getting more confused by the day with some things. First of all, we apparently had a 35-day shutdown of the government. Is that true?
Oh, I think so.
Pardon?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, thank you. There's something wrong with the phone here.
Oh, okay.
Secondly, I was thinking, when they kept saying on TV that there were over about 800,000 federal employees affected by this, that they weren't getting paid. But some of them were applying for unemployment. Were they considered unemployed people?
Yeah, I that's not my expertise whatsoever. I have no idea. Are you trying to make a point? Or we've got other calls backed up. I don't know where you're going with this, so go ahead.
Well, the point is the economic advisor to the president says that the shutdown has little or no effect on the economy. On another station, they told me that it was $11 billion hit. So how can you have one guy tell you this that had little or no effect, and then you have other economic advisors say it was up to $11 billion that we lost in our economy? They can't both be right, can they?
Well, unfortunately, you won't know that for years, you know, who was right and who wasn't. But if you ask 10 people, you get 10 different answers.
You get 10 different answers. And also, you know, where do they get $10 billion from? Is that, come on now. You know, some idiot came up with that one, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what they use for their parameters.
I mean, you know, are they real facts? No. Yeah.
Well, if we have 800,000 employees that weren't getting paid, you can't take that fact and discard it. They weren't getting paid. They went on unemployment, some of these
people. Right. So if they're not productive, then all of a sudden, once they're back and they are getting paid, they're getting their back pay, they would be productive. It would be an offset, Tony, in my way of thinking. You know, it would offset each other.
I mean, theoretically, what are you going to say? That because they weren't getting paid, they didn't spend a dime?
No, I'm saying they were unemployed. When you take the unemployment figures for that quarter.
Oh, okay, we're back to that. All right.
They should be considered unemployed.
Yeah. I don't know how they did it. I've heard some people say, no, they weren't counted as unemployed due to a technicality. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I really don't know either.
Well, that's okay. I thought this would all affect things, but I guess having the shutdown is a good thing for the economy.
Well, it all depends.
Right.
It can be, you know, it's like sometimes something's good, then it's bad, then it's good. You know, it switches back and forth. So what did he do? Oh, he left. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's up next? There?
Vic in Amherst.
Good morning,
Vic.
Good morning.
Hey, guys, let's make some money here. Enough of this politics. Jeez, oh, remedy. You got guys there?
Yes.
Oh, we are, yeah.
Yeah, this isn't MSNBC, I thought, huh?
Well.
Come on. Let's make some. Hey, Pete, you're a Menavini guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily follow what he does, but I like him. He's good.
Did you buy his new book? That's my
I did. Very good book.
What, great. What do you think of it?
I'm very impressed by it. I especially like the psychology part of it. Okay, you know, in other words, the mental aspect of it. But you know, the book covers his methodology. You know. And if you can follow that methodology and it suits you, a lot of people probably couldn't follow that at all. But
how much variance from his first book is it? If I've read the first book, Is the second book add things that the first book did?
It definitely does, yeah.
Oh,
it,
really?
It goes into more detail, because in the first book, I didn't totally understand his approach, you know, and he goes into much more detail on it. And plus, like I say, the psychology part of it's very good.
And you wouldn't recommend someone buy the second book unless they read the first book first, do you think?
No, I think you're okay with the second book because it just covers it in more detail. But I, you know, I would say that, you know, it'd be good to read both of them. But, yeah, I don't think you necessarily have to read the first one.
Oh, great. Thanks for the opinion. Okay. You're a Barron's guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
They finally wisened up and brought Stephen Sears back. Did you see that, the options guy?
Yeah, I noticed that, right? Yeah, I remember you mentioned it a while back, you know.
He had been gone for 3 months, and they had kind of guests, three or four different guests writing a column, and I guess there was a little bit of an uproar, and they brought him back. He is the best. He's you read his column every week, I'll tell you. He throws some pearls in there all the time as far as anybody with options or the VIX. He's definitely very, very good.
Well, that's good. And, you know, anybody who's doing options, it's a good tip for them, you know, to read the guy.
Just one quick point. Last week's Barron's, I don't know if you saw the article where they talked about ETFs versus mutual funds, and they made a mention of the Davis family of mutual funds. Also has the Davis ETF. And there's a Davis Mutual Fund, and obviously they hold pretty much the same securities. Did you see this article?
No, I didn't really. No.
Okay, well, they basically hold the same stocks, right? One obviously is a mutual fund, so they're going to be trading a lot more, and transaction costs are going to be more. And they went over a 10-year period. What the expenses you would pay with the mutual fund versus the ETF, and they brought up a point, and I think this is a good point to bring up to the listeners. Why would anyone purchase a growth mutual fund versus, you know, a growth ETF or a SPDR or even Berkshire Hathaway when over a course of 10, 15, 20 years, just the expenses, what you're paying on capital gains if it's in a taxable account would be. And that was brought up in a Barron's article. And they really had their point is you really shouldn't. Any thoughts?
I didn't realize you really shouldn't, is what you said. Okay.
You should either. Well, so what the point of the article was, right. If you're looking for growth, investing in growth, and you don't want to buy individual stocks yourself, okay, you're either doing one of three things. You're buying an ETF, you're buying the SPDRs or a total market, or you're buying Berkshire. You do nothing else. You never even think of buying a mutual fund because of the in a taxable account, because by the time you get done with capital gains and transaction costs and loads or whatever, it makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I mean, I get your point, and over the long term, you know, it has been shown that fees, you know, can drain your performance to a large extent. But you know, the other side, but it'd be different, obviously, if it showed that mutual fund way outperformed, you know, everything else, outperformed the market. But if it doesn't, your point's well taken. You know, I've said before. See, the problem is. You're very logical in the sense that, you know, you can buy the SPDR and just sit back and forget about it for the rest of your life, you know, for 20, 40 years, you know, okay? But the problem is people can't do that.
Well, they can't do that when they buy a mutual. If they can't do it buying a SPDR.
Oh, right. I mean, I agree. I mean, but I'm just saying, yeah, you can do that, but you'll find most people psychologically can't even handle that, so... I agree with the thesis. But you know, somebody did an article in Barron's a couple of weeks ago where they showed whether you counted fees or didn't count fees that a tremendous portion of mutual funds didn't beat the market. Didn't matter either way, you know.
And that would even more go towards the point of the article.
Right. Exactly.
And the chances that Joe Schmo out there like me picking a mutual fund that's, the very small percentage of them that beats a Berkshire or a Spider or an ETF growth, the chances of that are minute. Even on top of that, it was a great article. It basically says, just don't do it.
I guess that was the point. And the problem is, some people, it's not that all people shouldn't buy mutual funds. Some people may be very comfortable with mutual funds, even hearing that, right? But the point is well taken,
Whether they're comfortable or not, if it's not the right thing for them to do from a financial point, I mean, why would they? Anybody with logic would say, if it's not good for me, maybe because they like it.
Well, there's a lot of things people don't do that aren't logical.
It's not a perfect. What you're talking about is not perfect. Otherwise, people would do that.
Not necessarily. Why would you say that? People buy loaded funds. It's not perfect, but people still do that, right?
Well, sometimes they don't have a choice, or they don't want to do their own work or their own education in doing it. But I'm just telling you, I don't think what you're saying is perfect. It's an article. I don't know. I'd have to look at the data backing it up.
In the long run, that's correct. Okay.
It's as close to perfect as we can go, isn't it, David?
No. I don't know what perfect is, right.
but in
the long run, you're right. If somebody holds something for many years, you're right. Do that? I don't know.
I understand it, but what I'm saying is it's hard to logically refute that, to say it's not perfect, but without giving any example why it isn't perfect. I've never heard anybody explain why it isn't perfect.
So why do you buy stocks and sell calls or do puts and all that? Why don't you just do ETFs?
Because I like the excitement. I like the action.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you. There you go. There's the difference right there.
That's not the, No. I'm just saying anybody logically looking into purchasing for growth, it makes no sense, and that was the point of the article with Barron's. I've always held this. It makes no sense to buy a growth mutual fund as opposed to an ETF, a Berkshire, or a total market. Nobody's ever in pay. And I read a lot of different journals and online. Nobody's ever really refuted this.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I can think of cases where logically I could show people with facts. For example, whether you should pay off your home loan, you should do this and that. And logically, they don't care. They say, because I feel more comfortable with the other choice. I don't care how logical you're telling me it is, right?
Well, but that's the individual's hang-up. That's not the facts of...
I'm not arguing the facts. I'm just telling you why people, you can give them all the facts in the world.
I understand that, right. But to say it's not perfect, not to have anything to argue with, David, makes absolutely no sense.
Well, to you it doesn't. To you it doesn't because you're focused and you got those blinders on and that's what you got. So that's fine. But to the majority of people, you can tell them, Vic, don't buy a lottery ticket. Why are you buying a lottery ticket? Guess who I buy lottery tickets. I shouldn't, right? I shouldn't. Same thing with smoking.
Getting back to the article, let's not go lottery. You agree with the article too then, David, I would assume.
Well, I hate to agree with you just to agree with you. I'd rather take the opposite side. It makes it more exciting. But no, of course.
I haven't heard the opposite side yet. I don't want to argue with you. I'm just saying.
No, we're not arguing. We're discussing it.
I'm just saying
I argue with Peter all the time.
I'm just saying for the readers, it's a great article to.
I agree with you. Now, whether people will jump on that or not, who knows? But
they won't.
But anyway, those are the facts. Those are the facts. I can't argue it. Yeah,
can't make up facts.
Okay, thanks for calling. Okay, you two have a good weekend. Right now, give us a call. Phone lines are pretty wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520. Toll free, 800-879-7541. And we're going to go next to Art in New Jersey. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Nice to hear you on the radio.
Good morning. First of all,
I want to refute completely what Vic was saying.
Okay.
I'll give an example. I have an American Century fund, which I originally bought at $6. It's a very low-cost, low-load type fund, or almost no load, just the management fees. And every year it's been going up, and when it gets up over the last 4 or 5 years, it pays a long-term capital gain, which is taxable only at 15%. At that point, this is at the end of the year, the stock drops by the amount of the gain, and then by about March or April, it's back up. As an example, I got $35,000 capital gain last year. This year, it was $42,000. At that price, it went down to $39,000. It's back up to $46,000 again. So it's like a self-generating capital gain, and then the price of the fund goes right back up. So it's really tremendous.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just part of a portfolio.
Sure,
to be diversified.
Yeah, incidentally, I didn't know if you noticed, Jim Grant is back in the interest rate thing, a column in Barron's now.
Oh, is he really?
Wow.
Yeah, I don't care much for him.
I don't know why the guy is so revered, to tell you the truth.
Yeah,
I really don't know. I don't know what useful information he provides. He's basically a curmudgeon, you know.
Oh, sure. In the Barron's, there were two different articles on Cisco. Now, my price originally was 15. It's about 47.19 at the end. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, is there a possibility on your technical thing of that getting much above 50 over the next year or two?
Well, let's take a look at it there. I mean, obviously, they turned this company around from a potential has-been. You know, they were in the old technology, and now they've kind of reinvented themselves, you know.
Are they on the cloud, too, the way Oracle and some of the others
are? I'm not that familiar with all their...
Okay,
their
I'm not either.
Know, but they got more... They're networking, and they've really, you know, gotten right. into the newer technologies and stuff. And, mm-hmm. You know, they got left behind for a little while, and, boy, they've really come back. So, but that's right. all the fundamental stuff. You know, right now,
sure.
obviously, the high is around 49 and something, right, you know, for the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing that's positive about it is when it came down right to support. So you're in the trading range, you know, between about 41 and 49, say, right? If you break out to 50, that's major, you know, and then it could go significantly higher after that. So
does it have a target how high it might go?
No, because they won't print the target until it hits 50, you know.
Okay, I see. Good.
But if you went, you know, with the consolidated base, you know, like they have vertical counts, they have horizontal counts, you know, but the point and figure method. So 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, it'd be 11 boxes, 33. Believe it or not, a horizontal count would give you 74. So for what it's worth.
Right. Mm-hmm. The other item is that I put in the mail yesterday a copy of what I was mentioning to you, that my stock portfolio. One copy for you and one for David, and I mailed one down to Willard in Florida. Right. And I'd like you to look it over, and if you can, give me some thoughts on it.
Well, you'll get three different opinions, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, that's why I gave you two sheets, one for you and one
there
for David in the envelope.
Okay, all right.
And you also put a pencil with an eraser on it so that we can
yeah,
change
well,
our
minds. Yeah, well, it's erasable. You know, the funny thing is I had this printout on my old computer, and I couldn't get it to save on, like, a CD or one of those little
jump drive, USB drive. Yeah.
Couldn't get it, so it said, "Do you want to mail it?" So I mailed it to my other computer, and then I got it here, and I was able to print it also from this computer.
It's amazing. The wonderful world of computers, yes.
Yeah, I have to talk to my technical nephew and have him tell me what's going on with this, why I can't do certain things.
Amazing.
Well, just wait a little, it'll change. So.
Okay, great talking to you
guys.
Thanks,
Art.
All right, thanks for calling. Bye. Appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Okay, phone lines are wide open, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. While we're waiting for calls, if Richard would be a little more patient, we'll be back in a minute after we break.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541
or toll free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. If for some reason you don't want to call us on the phone, you can go to our website. And I can't imagine that.
Why would you not want to talk to us,
right? But anyway, you can go to our website, saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming comes up. Hit live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box, and you can type in a question, type in a symbol. If you put in a symbol, let us know whether you want to buy, sell, hold, whatever, so we can analyze it. Right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go to Richard in Rochester. Good morning.
I couldn't think of anyone I'd want to talk to more than you guys this morning.
Really?
Poor
not,
guy.
Not even your wife? I hope your wife didn't hear that.
She's in the other room. Don't
okay.
make me say that, you know? You're the kind of guy that got me in trouble in high school. Morning, guys.
Good morning,
it's
Richard.
It's an unusual show, David. I want to talk about stocks, maybe.
Okay.
Really?
yeah, I know. It's been different this morning. But I did miss the name of the book that, Victor, you guys were talking about, a book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if
you... Minervini or something? Or
Minervini is the author.
How you spell that? Or how?
Well, what I'll do is I'll actually go to the website, you know. But, you know, it's Minervini, M-I-N-E-R-V-I-N-I, okay? And his book is called... Think and Trade Like a Champion.
Okay.
That was his second book, okay? The first book was called, Trade Like a Stock Market Wizard, you know?
Okay.
But, if you buy the second book, you know, Think and Trade Like a Champion. The reason I like that, it goes into more detail into his approach. And also, it gives you a lot of good psychology of perfecting or, you know, managing your own psychology in investing is really what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I was listening to the Talking Heads this week on CNBC, which I always have it on, and they seem to express more concern going forward with the market, and maybe I shouldn't be as fully invested or. I shouldn't be as invested as I am. Do you have any opinion? I missed a homily this morning.
No homily. There wasn't any homily.
Okay. All right.
But, no, I mean, it is interesting. Could I think somebody brought up in Barron's that, you know, that people, you know, in general are jaded in the sense that, you know, for 10 months in a row, money has been withdrawn from the market by investors, you know, out of the mutual funds and whatever, you know, and they're saying that maybe people are trying to rationalize why they've been withdrawing money out, and they want to keep saying don't trust the rally, you know, watch yourself and so forth. Yeah, I mean, you always have to be, you know, alert, you know, as to what's going on. And you did have the S&P run right up to its 200-day moving average, which would technically frighten some people because it's like, a problem, you know. In other words, your 200 is usually support in a bull market, and it's a resistance in a bear market, you know. So it hit the 200-day moving average and had a reaction back, you know, thanks to the Chinese baloney, you know, that's been going on,
right.
You know. But
right.
But anyway, I mean, other factors, you know, because of, as we mentioned last week, the strength of the advanced decline line, and also the unusual quick turn with a lot of indicators from extremely low levels to extremely high levels suggests that this was just the first thrust in a new up move. Okay. Yeah. And the advanced decline line suggests, you know, the fact that it made new highs suggests the market should make new highs. So I mean, you can take that all with a grain of salt.
Did you see Bellan?
But normally, you know, if this is a first thrust in a new move up, the pullback's usually something to be bought, you know. So, but okay. I could be wrong, you know. That's I gave you the other side of the coin. People are worried that it hit the 200-day moving average, you know, and rejected from there. So, but you know, to me, all the underlying indicators suggest that this is the beginning of a new move, you know.
Yeah. My father was a stockbroker in the 50s, and he used to bring me to the office when they were still using chalkboards, believe it or not. He would roll over if he's seen what's going on today. It's very difficult to read these markets and figure out what's a good investment or not. Just different times.
Well, it is different times, but it's always like if you pay attention to what sectors are doing well. Once again, always focus on that first. You know, don't try to just pick a stock. You know,
You got me believing 50% of a stock's potential is in the sector, right?
Well, whatever. Maybe. It's a high number. You know, it's a high number.
It's a high number, yeah.
And you know, and the bottom line is that you know the strong sectors normally tend to be strong for a while. You know, and it used to be. Supposedly, I know Willard told me, you know, from Dorsey Wright that when relative strength, you know, gives a buy signal, you know, by the point and figure method, that it can be that long for 2 years. I'm not so sure that's true anymore with how things change so quickly, you know. But you can't go wrong, you know, first focusing if the market's okay, as long as it's not in a tremendous bear market, obviously, you know. But if the market's okay. Yeah, look at the sectors that are doing well, and then pick some. Pick the leading stocks, you know.
I'm glad you said relative strength because I still use relative strength as part of my equation and formula. Mm-hmm. You folks still look at that as well?
Oh, definitely. It's very, very integral, to say the least.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. That's one thing. Secondly, can I give you a stock like BP, British Petroleum?
British Petroleum.
It's not in a great sector lately. It was for a while there, but, you know, they come in and out.
You know, like the funny part about relative strength is what time period you're talking about, okay?
Yeah.
And the energy sector's been one of the stronger sectors this year so far, which is kind of interesting to say the least. Now, whether it will continue to be, who knows? You know, no question about that, but... I mean, still to me, you know, it's an okay stock, all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you look at it, you know, it's in a trading range. You know, it's in a big trading range between about 37 and 47. Okay,
and it closed at 42.49.
Yeah, you know, and it came down and it tested the bottom of the range. You know, had a nice pop up and now it's pulled back. All right. And the 200-day moving average is at 43. So you want to see it, you know, get above that 200-day moving average, and that 200-day moving average becomes support. Then it could test 47, and if it broke out to 48, you could go back into the low 50s, all right? Mm-hmm. Right now, all you can say about it is it's in the trading range, you know, between 37 and 47.
So. 5.8% dividend, too.
Yeah, it's got a nice
dividend.
I think
it's right about in the middle. Period. It's right about in the middle with a great dividend.
So and I thought I read a few weeks ago that they found some tremendous amount of oil someplace, you know.
They did. They didn't publicize it a lot, but there was an article on it.
Yeah, there was an article on it, you know. But anyway, I mean, you know, obviously this is going to fluctuate around, you know, with oil prices and so forth, you know. But, yeah, you're in the trading range, and those are the parameters, you know.
Okay, thanks. Could you look at Intel for me, INTC?
INTC. Now, you know, once again, the semiconductors, you know, after being trounced at the end of last year, have been one of the strongest groups. And you're up right now, you know, against resistance.
Closed at 48.84.
Yeah, and 50 is the key. So, Intel, you know, technically on the point and figure chart saying the price objective is 65, all right? And right now, to get a good buy signal, you'd have to go to 51. And the 200-day moving average is at 49, so you're dancing right around those areas, you know. So, I mean, are you looking to buy it or what, you know?
I own it, and I've added to it over the last several weeks, but I'm pretty much where I'd want to be quantity-wise.
Mm-hmm.
StockYard said it had a bullish triangle breakout on February 5th. I thought that was a little aggressive. I don't quite see a triangle, but...
Yeah, well, it's in the eye of the beholder. But the critical support, as you can see on the charts, 43, you know. So if it went to 42, run for cover, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel good around there. No,
not really. But you want to see it get above the 200-day, you know, that 49. You want to see it give a new buy signal at 51, and you're in much better position, you know. But right now it's in a rebound, and like I say, in a short-term stop or reevaluation would be 45, but you might as well hold, the 40, 42? Yeah.
Yeah. Could I ask one more, please?
Mm-hmm.
ON.
Another semiconductor there?
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. Let me take a look. Now, that one looks very strong. I mean, do you own it or are you looking to buy it? You know?
No, I've been looking, and I was going to do some options on it, but I think I was just going to buy a couple hundred shares.
Yeah, because, it came down, made a double bottom in the, looks like the 15 and a half area.
Yeah.
Has rallied strongly off that. You know, the 200 days at 20, it closed at
2184.
2184. So you'd like to see it stay above the 200 day, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, support for it, would be the 50 days back at 18, you know. So support somewhere around 18 and 20. It's had a big run, I'd probably watch it, and let me take a look at one other thing real quick.
I think the big run is what's got me scared a little, but.
Yeah, but everything's had a big run. Matter of fact, the market's had a year, in a month.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I think the NASDAQ's up 10% for the year already, right?
Yeah. It is, 10% even.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this one's come up. It's pulled back for a couple days right now. And like I say, as long as, somewhere you'd expect support to be 18, 19 to 20 on it, So, but it looks, very strong in here, So I'd look for an opportunity. Yep.
Okay. I'm more interested in the sector still strong, right?
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Okay, good. All right. Well, look, I appreciate everything you do for me.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Have a good weekend.
Have a nice weekend.
Okay.
Bye,
you thank too. You. Who's hey. Up next here?
Dan in Toronto.
Dan in Toronto. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, guys. Great, great show as usual.
Thank you.
Thanks. Your earlier caller said this too. Thanks for staying away from politics. It's it's hard to.
That's hard for me not to do, but.
It's hard to find.
But it's becoming easier.
It's hard to find any discussion these days about people going down that route, and it's just great show, and I've listened to you guys for a long time, and you and your listeners, you guys helped me make some money, which is great.
Good.
So I just had a couple of basic questions in one stock. So the easiest one is this stock. So I've been looking around at the trucking for some stock in the trucking industry. Mm-hmm. Just it's one industry that I've never sort of looked in, bought anything in yet, and I've been hunting around. So I was looking at one stock. It's RUSHA. Just wondering what you guys think of that.
Rush Enterprises.
It's a dealership. They have a huge amount of dealerships.
Yeah, auto dealers. Yeah. Country. Close at 37.19.
Yeah, the problem with it is it is. I would only, not saying you can't buy it. Using some other approach. But right now somewhere in the 39 area. Okay, it's been stuck three times now. And I would only buy it on a breakout, really. Okay.
Okay.
Because it looks like it's forming what they call a head and shoulders bottom. Okay.
Right.
And the shoulders right around that 39 area. So a nice breakout above that, and then at a minimum, the next target would be probably 46, 47, you know, which is the old high just about.
Yes.
Yep. So
okay.
It's and go ahead.
And then, like, you're one of your big things is that you look at is the 200-day moving average.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of the indicators. But so when you're looking at that, are you generally looking at that on a 2-year, a 5-year, a 1-year? Like, what's the time period that you're generally looking at that average?
Oh, it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. You know, as long as you've got 200 days that it can be calculated, you know. And you the only reason, you know, like are these magical, mystical, whatever you want to call them, if it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, if a lot of portfolio managers and traders use it, then it's important, right?
Right.
And that's why you kind of look at it. It's not do or die, but in general, you know, there are people, for example, with the 50-day moving average, right? They will not buy a stock unless it's above the 50-day moving average, you know. So, the 200-day is supposed to be a longer-term indicator, and in general, you know, it can be used for decisions. Sometimes what happens is, say the 200 days, you're in a bull market, and you drop slightly below it, it can be a buy, you know. But then once it starts becoming resistance, like it might, you know, it hit resistance, this week, and if it becomes something that can't be overcome, now you got a problem, right?
Right.
Yep.
And then one of your earlier callers as well was talking about the RSI, the Relative Strength Index. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at that, are you basically just okay?
Well, that's not the RSI. You know, relative strength is how something's performing relative to the market, all right? The RSI is that indicator, you know, that basically measures where a stock has been within its range, you know. A lot of people get mixed up. You know, relative strength means is it stronger than the market? You know, what's stronger than the market? How is it performing related to the market, right?
I see.
Yeah, the relative, as you know, RSI is an indicator based on price, you know.
It's right.
On a chart, yeah.
Okay. And then the last question I have is, I've never... And again, it's something somebody touched on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I've never bought any ETFs, but I'm starting to look at them. And as far as using a chart to analyze them, do you basically, you know, look at the same
exact
the same indicators,
same things exactly.
Same thing,
yep.
Eh?
Exactly. Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Great. Thanks
there
very
you
much,
go.
Guys.
Okay.
And, great show.
Okay. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Take care. Thanks for the call.
Dan.
Okay, we're going to go next to
the next Dan in Niagara Falls.
Dan in Niagara Falls. Good morning.
Hi,
Dan.
How are you today?
Good.
Okay, how are you?
Good. I'm good, thanks. Hey, just to touch upon, you guys have been talking about relative strength a lot this morning. So, where do you guys look at that indicator? What information do you use to?
Well, there's a number of things. I mean, obviously, if you're using the Dorsey Wright site, it tells you, you know. You know what the relative strength is, you know,
okay.
for every sector.
That...
But you know you can do that by going to like websites like what am I thinking about right now? Maybe stockcharts.com and look at the sectors. You know.
Oh, okay. So look at I know. I think they have a screen where they show the performance over different times?
Right, exactly. Yep.
Okay, so that's what you're looking at.
Exactly. And you know, some people use, a year relative strength. Some use 3 months. Some use 6 months. And
okay.
Depends on your strategy, you know. So.
Right. Depends on if you have a long-term view or
exactly.
Short-term.
Yep.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about a couple of stocks and see what you guys think in terms of do they look like they're buyable here or not. So the first one I wanted to look at was PayPal. PYPL.
PYPL, yeah.
Elon Musk's former company. Closed at $91.87.
So this one here, it kind of did a breakout, and then it pulled back after its earnings.
Right. And, you know, obviously resistance is still that general area where it ran up into, okay, 93.94.
Okay.
You have the 200-day right now. It looks like 85.
So, yeah, it looks like there's a lot of support for it anyway in that area.
Yeah, and on the chart, too, you're right. The tremendous support in that 85 area.
I think even the 50s hovering around there.
In the 50s, 87, you know, so same area, you know, same area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I always tell people, you know, a specific number doesn't mean anything, just
yeah.
an area, you know, around that area, you know.
So it looks like it has a lot of support in that.
Oh, yeah, it looks like a lot of very good support there. And, yeah, I think it's viable.
Looks okay?
Yeah, you're just going to have to worry about, you know, is it going to be able to get through the old high? You know?
Uh-huh.
Now, if you want to take the price target on point and figure charts, 119, you know.
Okay.
So.
It's a great company, too. I mean, from a fundamental aspect, if you use them, they're very customer-friendly.
From a future perspective point of view,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I use them all the time, but that doesn't mean anything. But anyway.
No, but they just somebody is not using them. They're not as their preferred provider. I don't know if it's Amazon or this was a couple months ago, but it hurt the stock.
Yeah, and if you look at like an on balance volume indicator, you know, which is supposed to tell you, you know, whether more buying's coming in,
it's
been very strong, you know. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, how does that one like? How does PayPal compare to like Square? Are they very different companies?
Oh, absolutely.
They're
very different.
I mean, Square, you know, I mean, I don't know what else Square might be in, but their main thing is they took over the small business market for, you know, the machines that are used, you know, where you pay, you know, at the restaurants and so forth.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so and a lot of them are handheld, too.
Handheld devices. And,
right.
Yeah, they completely dominate the small business market, you know.
Yeah, you can't use Square, that I know of, to pay for something yourself.
Yeah,
They're like the terminals, Verifone and Veriscan
and blah, 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 you know, those
things. Yeah.
Well, so they must have taken the market by storm then, because this is not a very old company, is it?
Square, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Probably 10 years.
It's funny. I mean, the guy who runs Square is the guy who owns Twitter, but, you know.
Right.
But at any rate.
Well, at least something's working out for him.
For him, that's right. That's always the secret of life is to always have a plan B.
So the other one that I thought was maybe dead was Netflix. It got pounded, but it's coming back.
Well, they have all these rumors saying that Disney should buy Netflix, you know.
Do you think that's what it is?
It's probably helping, you know, to say the least, but...
it was like it tanked, and I guess it tanked what? Because its earnings were bad, and I don't know.
It was their projections
and
what they're saying they're going to, because everybody's worried about China and everything.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at it, the resistance is 358. You know, we're double top so far.
Close at 347.57.
Yeah. So you know that's kind of the key on
357. You said
347 is close.
Well, you got two different numbers. 358 is the double top.
Right.
Okay.
And
we just throw numbers out.
Would you buy it only if it took out 358, Peter?
Well, like I say, I mean, depending on different people's approach, like I say, nothing's to say it just can't take off from here.
Yeah,
you know, but right now the support looks like it's around 320. Yeah, 320 on the point and figure chart, and your 200 days 336.
How much?
336.
Okay, so it's above that.
Yeah, so it's above the 200 days. So I mean, if you wanted to take half position, if you feel strong about it, and you've looked into it, and you like something, you know, and we always have to say do your own research.
I think it's a good chance to take, because, I mean, I don't think this company's going away.
No, I don't think so either, really. Yeah.
I mean, it could do like it could do the Amazon thing like Amazon 10 years ago, plummet, but then all of a sudden just come back again. I mean, I think this is here to stay, either on its own or, like you said, somebody like Disney wants to buy it up. But
well, it's different this time in the sense that I think the last time they announced they were doing a price increase, they trounced the stock, you know.
Mm.
Right.
And this time they're doing a price increase, and who cares, right?
You know, right. So.
I think it's a good point to take a shot at it.
Yep.
Okay, got time for one more?
Yeah, real quick.
You guys familiar with this company at all, NOW?
No, I've heard the name. Never really looked into it that much.
Take a look at that one. See what you think.
Let's see. NOW.
ServiceNow.
ServiceNow.
228.56.
It's going to the moon.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. Point and figure objective is 236. Where to close at?
228.56.
So it busted above everything, but that's a major breakout.
What's the target, Peter?
Yeah. Well, it's already made the target in the point and figure chart.
Okay. And well, yeah, you know, the nice thing about this thing is that it didn't get beat down as badly as the rest of the market did.
Yep.
And so it held it, you know, it formed a nice base, and now it just busted out of it.
See, that's relative strength. And what I like is, you know, it gapped up here.
Yep.
And now it's forming this little, like a flag pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it broke out again, you could have a significant upside, is what I'm trying to say.
So this one here busted out. It had a gap. I think the bottom of the gap was around 210.
Let's see. The bottom of the gap is 2999. Very good.
About 210?
210 is good. Yeah.
So would you put an order in at 210 and hope you get it, or what do you think?
I don't know. In other words,
who knows? You might miss it, right?
You might miss it, yes.
You might miss it.
Yep.
So this one's probably a good case where you watch it for a few days.
Well, it's very sure. If it broke out, you'd have to go with it, you know.
If it doesn't, yeah. If it doesn't sink at all,
yeah,
then it may be one that's taken off.
And certainly
off, like
if it
said.
Went, you know, if it went above, if it hit 220, 230, it's a buy, you know.
230, it's a buy.
Yep.
Okay, Peter, sounds good.
There you go.
All right.
And then, I would like to see that gap hold at 210.
I'm sorry?
I'd like to see the gap hold at 210, you know. So.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's not going to come back.
Yep.
It's just, it's been so strong.
Okay, well, I got to get off now, but yeah. Thanks for calling. Take care. Okay.
Take care, guys.
We're at the end of the show. You know, as we always say, do your own research. Keep a little powder dry, and we'll be back next week.
Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.